do this.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome to the Stabcast, everybody. I'm Dan.
And I'm Mindy.
And we're here to talk about the M. Night Shyamalan 2015 film, The Visit.
Yep.
So we're excited to get into that. I'm here with Mindy for another nice Sunday. It's a beautiful day outside. It's starting to get dark outside, and we're here to talk about some horror. Now, to me, the career of M. Night Shyamalan, and I'll let you get into, so do we have any news? Or
I do have some news. I can't figure out what it is. I can't figure out the exact, I'm having trouble coming up with the exact name here. But I'll be able to have it in, like, 0.2, 0.5 seconds, because
okay. It
was on me. Come on.
And I'll just keep burning. M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, just keep bullshitting.
M. Night Shyamalan is a guy who's had, 20-plus years.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so there is a brand new movie that is out, and it's not out to the public yet. It was only out for a screening, and this is a quote from Stephen King. This movie, not even horror film, not even any genre, this movie as a whole is what everyone should probably base themselves off of, because this movie just killed it. It's got 100%,
really?
It's got 100% Rotten Tomatoes on critics, and it's got 100% audience score.
Holy shit.
It's going to be called Talks with the Devil, or Late Night Talks with the Devil. I can't fucking remember. And it's going to be on Shudder. It premieres in 2 weeks for the public. And basically what it is like, it's a late night talk show based in like the 70s, like the late 70s.
Yeah.
And what the guy normally does is, like, spooky shit. Like, he hypnotizes stuff, like, the hosts and stuff. Like, he does certain stuff. Like, he'll play with Ouija boards and he'll hypnotize people. And, like, it gets so far as to one point before it shit even goes down, one of his producers told him that he needed to slow down.
Yeah.
And he is like, slow down. What the hell are you talking about? So then, he finds a psychiatrist. Can't really remember her name. I think her name is Christine, something like that. And Christine tells him, I have a patient who is, I don't know what's going on with her. Because nothing's medically wrong with her, but everyone's, like, every, like, 20 minutes, actually, she's like, honestly, I can't even say to anybody's safety that it's going to be 20 minutes at a time because it's an anthier in her, but she has the devil inside of her. And the guy's like, do you think you could get her to talk? And she was like, on your late night talk show? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I don't think it's a good idea. Because she's become really unpredictable. And he's like, well, I want her on my talk show anyway, and it's a young girl named Alice. And, like, the minute she steps on stage, like, all the lights go out, and then you hear, like, a grudge-like noise, and, like, she's contorting into a different shape. Like, it's really creepy. and, like, that's about as much as you get out of the trailer.
Yeah.
And that's only if you pay attention to the secondary trailer that just came out, because the first trailer gave you absolutely nothing. So, but this would be a good one. And also, a trailer that just came out that I have to announce is the trailer for The First Omen. It's
okay.
Now out. I have not seen it because I've been wrapped up with other stuff. I don't even know exactly when it's coming out, but I do have some really good news for people who have been waiting on Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice has finally gotten a name, and they have finally gotten a date, which is their name is going to be Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. And I know, stupid, right? And the release date will be September 6th of this year. So we got a lot of good shit coming. Also, I know you guys have heard us talk about Winnie's Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and how it's supposed to come out in February. It did not. It got pushed back till later this month. Don't exactly know what happened, but also, Daniel and I have some fantastic news that I have not revealed on any of our TikToks yet, because I feel like we should be able to tell you in here. So we got some news from Scream 7, and we found out that Neve Campbell will once again be Sidney Prescott, but Kevin Williamson will not only be coming back to screenplay, but he will also be coming back to direct.
I was wondering when you were going to hit that one.
This is debut. This is directorial debut here.
Yeah, this is definitely
Me and Daniel are kind of worried about it because, like, yeah, he's a fantastic writer, but he's never actually, like, been behind the camera. So we're a little worried, but...
My only thing with this is... It's in a weird state to where I think fans are going to be confused, because I think a lot of people are going into that for the trilogy to Sam and Tara's story, more so than seeing the final cap with Sydney and stuff and everything. So it sucks that we're in a place to where we've had so many different kind of visions for Scream. We've had the TV shows, the VH1 and the MTV. We've had the original story with Sydney and stuff, that the first two movies are immaculate. The latter two, you know, four did try its best, but five and six sit in a weird spot. So you don't know what
they're going to do. She even said it's going to be somewhat difficult coming up with a story because of the fact that the two girls that were meant to replace my storyline are both gone.
Well, yeah,
so
and also
she has acknowledged that.
But it's not even... Listen, Kevin, yes, the story's kind of in a weird, fucked up place, but when you have Kevin Williamson behind it, that doesn't worry me that much. I think the story will find a way to work itself out. And I think the guy that came up with it to begin with will come up with a satisfying conclusion to his baby. I'm not as worried about that. I'm more worried about how it's going to be shot, because he's never done this before also. And these last two movies kind of followed the same type of style. Four had that style a little bit, but they're kind of different from the original trilogy. So I don't know how they're going to, like, I don't know how they're going to shoot this thing, how it's going to look, how, like, because the one thing that I'll give that, what is it called? Something Silence? Radio Silence?
Radio Silence.
The two directors, they shot these last two movies beautifully. From the shots of Ghostface walking out of the store with a gun to the shot of Mindy's girlfriend fucking falling fucking like 50-something feet and smacking her face on a trash can and her face fucking being caved in. There's certain choices that they've went with cinematography-wise that I really enjoyed, and I hope we don't lose. That's my only thing. I love Kevin Williamson. I love him as a writer. For a first-time director, for a big studio, for a conclusion, it seems to be a lot of pressure for him. But he is, story-wise, writing-wise, I have no doubt that he'll get it done.
Yeah, but Neve Campbell also, she has some executive producer, kind of like assistant director things underneath her belt from like documentaries that she does in Canada, which,
yeah,
are a little bit different. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a little bit different, but
it
she
is.
At least knows what looks good and what looks not. So I think that the two of them together will do the project justice. And they've already said this is it. She went out and bought everything. So there are no more TV shows after this. There will be no more movies. There will be no more comics. There will be no more games. Nothing. She wants it gone. Nope. She wants it completely erased from the media when she's done. She said, that's it. I'll do the seventh one, and that's all. And then no one else is coming back to do it.
I don't blame her.
Neither do I. I'm just... the only way I really see it working is if she's the bad guy.
No. No, they can make it work in a satisfying way. It's just, it's hard because you have so much story. You're obviously going to get Gail back. I don't think Courtney Cox sits out of this. Honestly.
No, she's already signed up. She's the only person that actually signed up. The twins never heard back, so I don't think they're even going to be in it.
Now that it's up to Nev and everything, I wonder if Jenna Ortega and the other girl are 100% out.
I don't know. I've read an article saying that she's open to have a conversation with both of them, but apparently Melissa's still very upset about what happened. And Jenna is very much so very overwhelmed with a lot of stuff going on right now.
Well, yeah, from what it seemed, Jenna was more of a scheduling thing than anything. It seems like she wanted to do it, but Wednesday is the biggest thing in the world, so you'd have to understand. You know what I mean? And that makes sense. Huh?
She quit Wednesday earlier this week.
No
way. There's a new replacement for her and everything.
Is that official? See, now that you got me with Kevin Williamson writing it, now I gotta fucking believe you on everything. That's a real article?
That's what I thought.
Because I was 100% sure that she was doing Wednesday.
That's what I thought, but then I saw the other day that she wasn't.
Okay. It seems to be that it's still on from a quick Google, but I don't know.
Okay.
But, yeah, hers seemed to be more of a scheduling thing anyway because she's got so much going on, so I wasn't that worried about it. But the girl who plays Sam, you can bring her back, have her and Sydney do something where it's like those are the Billy Loomis's kid, and then fucking, and Sydney, you can write Tara off. It's like, all right, Tara left to finally go get her mind straight. You can do that, and that'll still work. And then have those two as the final girls. Which one's going to make it out, Sydney or Sam? That would work. That's not a bad movie.
If Sam didn't ruin her film career, she would be great. But.
Yeah, I've liked her in so much stuff, though. But I get it. No, we'll see what happens. This movie has been on a weird journey, and when movies go on journeys like this, the final product usually is not good. So I just hope that at the end of the day, the movie ends up what we all want. It's going to be hard, though. Because
I think
everybody's expectations.
That if it's not going to be the way that, if it's not going to be the way that she wants it, then I have a feeling Nev Campbell will quit again.
Yeah, I can see it.
I would not hold her to that at all. So, I mean, yeah, she's back, woohoo and whatnot, but guys, please don't be surprised if, like, she gets pissed off, throws a temper tantrum, and just decides not to be in it anymore. Because no offense, Nev, I love you. I love you with all my heart, but you've got to tone it down with the fucking temper tantrums.
There's no reason
for that bullshit.
I'm proud of her in this moment because the whole fight for equal pay and shit and the fight, you know, for knowing her worth and stuff, it seems like she won. You know what I mean?
And she did win, but that's where I want her to stop, though. I don't want her to keep going with anything. I think that'll be way too out of her comfort zone.
She got what she wanted, though. There doesn't seem to be anything else to fight for. She got her movie the way she wanted it with the original creator and the way she wants to create it. So she got everything, and she's the star again. So she got everything that she wanted from the whole this whole argument that she was in. So now I think it's time to just go make a badass final to this. All right, you want to talk about The Visit?
Yeah, we should probably talk about The Visit.
All right, let's talk about The Visit. That Night Shyamalan movie.
One thing.
Go ahead.
Sorry. One thing I do want to say about The Visit is I really like the two little kids that are in here so much that when you guys had us watch Better Watch Out or whatnot, I think we mentioned this before, but the babysitter and the little boy down the street were actually the same two kids that they used in The Visit.
Yeah. They were. And I really enjoyed the girl. And just to on your note, Olivia DeJonge is a great actress, and she played a hell of a Priscilla in that Elvis movie with that awesome.
Oh, did she? I haven't seen her yet.
No, that movie's. I don't love that Elvis movie with Tom Hanks and shit, but she's a good part of it, and her Priscilla is really good. Now we have an M. Night Shyamalan movie with The Visit. As you said, it's starring Olivia DeLong and Ed Oxenbold. And then you have the older people, Deanna Dungeon, the grandma, and then who plays Marja Bell Jameson, also known as Nana. And Peter McRobbie is Frederick Spencer Jameson, also known as Pop-Pop. So the cool thing about M. Night Shyamalan and his movies, and there's a reason I am so interested in him, and it's not only just because this movie was shot like a lot of his other movies around Philadelphia. He's very known for shooting around the Philadelphia area in Reading. So right around our wheelhouse, he makes his movies, just like this one. We could have, you and me could go see The Visit house if we wanted to, which is pretty
cool.
Yeah,
it's in Mansonville.
But so that's pretty sick. It's cool that he does that. It's a great area for movies. M. Night Shyamalan is one of the most fascinating directors to me and one of my all-time favorites because consistency is not a word that he knows. That's what I like about him. It's
you never
really
know what you're going to get.
No,
it's
either
really
good
or really
one of
those random cookie jars you get at Christmas.
100%. You could get a movie like The Sixth Sense, which is like a perfect piece of cinema, or you could get The Last Airbender. That's what I enjoy about him.
I mean, that is true. You kind of never really know where he's going to go.
And this is also...
he normally has a road in two directions, and then he's like, we're going to go down this... wait, no, never mind.
Exactly.
Switch.
And this is an interesting time in his career when he made this movie, because this is right after his fucking... the three movies before this are The Happening, which is a bust with Mark Wahlberg. It's another one with a weird twist that people did not love. Then you had The Last Airbender, which... Last Airbender made money, but it was a critical failure. And then you had
Is that
After
the one where they're all blue?
No, that's the... That's Avatar, James Cameron's Avatar, that's fucking made... It's one of the highest grossing movies ever. I think it is the highest. But his Avatar... which is The Last Airbender. That's based on the cartoon. It's just, they just redid it on Netflix because M. Night Shyamalan's was so bad. But this, it didn't work. It sucked. So he had The Happening bomb. He had this. People hated it. It is an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then he did After Earth with Will and Jaden Smith, which is one of the worst sci-fi movies I've ever seen in my fucking life. So
Cousin's trying to get me to watch it.
So fucking bad. It's so fucking bad. It's not all the way his fault, but it's a terrible movie. And you go, so you go from those movies failing and people fucking hating them. And then you give him this and you give him back in his wheelhouse. He actually had to use $5 million against his own home to make this thing. So he had some stake in this motherfucker. And this is, you know, of course he had his success with Sixth Sense and Signs and stuff in the early 2000s, but by this point, people were asking the question.
He didn't know where to do Split, though, at this point, and Glass.
No, Split and Glass are the two movies directly after this. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
We have a Shyamalan that's not as highly regarded going into this thing. We have people saying, does he still got it? That's what's interesting about this movie. Because then after this, then you get Signs and Glass, and then it's like, oh, now he's doing the cinematic universe thing and he's making a shit ton of money and these movies are good. And Split was a fucking hit. And Glass was really good, too. And then you have Old and Knock at the Cabin and what he's been doing recently, and everything's been really good. But,
Knock at the Cabin was phenomenal. Old was okay.
Fun
but once you found out the twist of Old, you were like, fuck.
It kind of made you think, like, oh, my God, he hasn't, like, grown at all. It's like he's doing the same shit he was doing in the fucking 90s.
Like, now he's fucking experiments on people. Holy shit.
Yeah, it wasn't. I like Old as a, and it's something that I would watch again. I haven't watched it since we watched it for the show.
Yeah, you
I
like Old more than I did.
Yeah, because it was, it's one of those things that the on-paper concept was so good that it made me get past some of the other things, which, I mean, I thought the acting in that was probably the worst acting I've seen in a Shyamalan movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
They had some really bad
acting.
That
poor girl from last night at Soho, she could not act. Thank God she got herself some acting classes. She ended up in that movie. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, she was incredible
bad.
In Soho, but in that movie, you know, I think everybody had trouble. And you had a lot of foreign actors. And, but that movie went the way that it went. And then you had Knock at the Cabin, which to me is one of his better movies of all time. And a career-turning performance from Dave Bautista and shit like that. But M. Night's had a weird career. But going into The Visit, people are asking, does he still have it? And I will say, I think that he proved that he does. And yes, this has a twist, but it's a way more realistic twist. It's a way more something that makes sense compared to the story and makes you go, oh, shit. And I think this thing works before totally getting into it. I do think, I saw this movie in theaters when it came out. And I thought, and to me, this movie works.
I mean, there's a few things that make it work, and one of them is that their mother had left home very early, at a very early age, that the children had never actually met their grandparents. And the mother, who even admits later of how irresponsible and a bad mom she was, the mom, in our reality, should have rode on the fucking train and taken the kids to the grandparents before going on her cruise.
Yeah.
But she didn't. So everyone makes mistakes here. But like I was also telling you, I also feel like the grandparents made a huge mistake as well, because they're both volunteer counselor workers at Meadowbrook Mental Institution. And they have this couple. And guy's name is, like, Joe. Other girl's name, I can't remember what her fucking name is. But she's fatal. And, like, they ended up telling these people about the fact that their grandkids were coming to visit for an entire week and that they didn't know them. Why would you tell them that you never met your grandkids? I mean, you don't know what they look like. And in the same asylum. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I agree.
That's just stupid. That's just looking for trouble. And I guess these people kind of looked like their grandparents. So, of course, they pulled the great escape and they killed the grandparents. And it got even crazier and crazier than that. Because the one dude, he's got fucking schizophrenia. And the other woman is just fucking nuts.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually pulled what Elvis thought her. I think they just say that she's crazy. But, like, so these poor kids, they don't know, though. They think, guys, they think that these are their grandparents. like, these are the parents that gave birth to their mom. And the one girl, Rebecca, is making a documentary about everything. And, like, it's really weird because whenever she tries to interview Nana or Nana, Nana doesn't want anything to do with it. She wants her to get away from her with the camera. She's not okay with the camera. She doesn't like the camera. She wants it gone. And the grandfather seemed to be, like, somewhat okay with the camera. A little bit. Better than the Nana was. But still. Definitely a lot to unpack there. And then also, like, the kids, like, I honestly felt like this had too many storylines for me, just because they also had the kid, they had the documentary with Rebecca, and then they had the fact that they hated their dad.
Yeah, there was little different mini stories in there, but it was really the main. And I agree with you, but I do like how it kind of stayed focused on the grandparents being weird and shit going down the whole time. Because to give away the twist, spoiler alert now, don't watch, I mean, like we've always said, you've had a few years to see this, but the grandparents aren't really the kids' grandparents. They're just some assholes that picked them up from the airport. And they're crazy.
No, like I told you, they're mental asylum patients that ended up killing their real parents and taking on their real parents.
So they killed it in that aspect. But it's a twist that makes you go, holy shit, I did not think that going into this. I never once watching this, and this is one of those movies that it's hard because it's better to watch this once and never watch it again. It's one of those that the twist is so good to watch it the one time. Because it's never going to be as good as the first time you saw it where you didn't know. Because you don't know. And I didn't know. I didn't
well, there's
see
also
any signs
two twists.
That. I know.
There's also
but then,
two twists.
Well, what's the second one?
Well, I didn't realize that that's what the second twist was. They never, especially the man, they never planned on letting the children go home. When they found out from the people at the asylum that they were going to have their grandkids for a week, they were going to kill them. And I'm not kidding, because him and Becca have a conversation about it. And she says, I'm not going to die. And he's like, everyone's going to die tonight, Rebecca. It's all been planned. So that, to me, was an even bigger twist than them not being the grandparents. The grandparent thing was like, oh, and like the you're all gonna die thing was more like, oh shit. Like their mother better get there fast.
Yeah. Better get mama fast, dog.
She's the most irresponsible mother ever. At least she admitted it. I mean, it was more than what their dad did. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, one of the really things that freaked me out was when they were playing hide and seek underneath the porch, and the fucking woman was like, our grandma or whatever the hell we want to call her, was like running towards them and shit. Like, she was running towards them like a feral animal. Like
yeah.
A cave person. It was just so weird. Like, she really seemed to not be able to keep it together. Like, Pop-Up seemed like he was, like, the strongest of the two.
Yeah, this movie is a return to form for Shyamalan, and that's why I really enjoy it. And the fact that it goes back into his creepy origins and his creepy roots and the whole don't go out after 9:30. And I like it as it's a creepy movie. You're trained to be scared of the grandparents from the beginning, but you still think it's the grandparents. That's why the twist means something. Because you're like, oh,
yeah.
Shit, that makes sense, but holy fuck. I really enjoyed everything about this movie. I like the kids' performance. I like the grandparents' performance. They knock it out of the fucking park. Because they do a good job of being nice, sweet grandparents. The grandfather is a little more like, he's a little more like hard-ass, but like it makes sense for a grandpa, but he's still sweet. And the grandma's like overly sweet. And then, you know, they slowly start to go nuts and slowly start to show how they really are. And it's eerie and creepy and kind of scary to watch. I enjoy it. I think that's when this movie is at its best.
I think the worst part of this movie was the ending where the little boy rafts.
Oh, come on. He was working on those bars for a while.
Oh, my God. It was so bad, Daniel. You at least could hold your own when you were that age.
I was better then than I am now.
I'm not going to say that, but he was very, I'll give it to him, he was very creative with the stuff that he was coming up with. But, I mean, yeah. I was like cringing watching that. I can't believe that. But I think it's really funny, though, that she did put, right before he did that her brother insisted she put it in.
That is funny.
So they had a good chemistry together, though. They were very believable as brother and sister.
Yeah. I agree.
So
yeah.
What would you give this out of 10 dirty diapers?
We can't gloss past that because this scene is fucking disgusting. And it's basically,
especially because the kid is a germaphobe.
The kid's a germaphobe, he hates germs, and the grandpa is known to shit his pants. And it's kind of was talked about throughout the movie, like, hey, grandpa might shit his pants. And then it finally happens when they're going crazy. And I think they already know that the grandparents aren't grandparents by this point. So it's not even,
yeah, they do.
It's not even relative shit. It's stranger shit. And the grandpa's like fucking there in the kitchen and the grandpa shits his pants and they're all sitting there awkwardly. The grandpa looks a little embarrassed, but then he takes his pants off, takes the diaper off, looks at it, looks at the kid, looks back at the diaper and smushes it in the kid's fucking face. And that it was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in the theater. And, yeah, and so, when the kid eventually goes off the handle and fucking, you know, goes Rambo on the grandparents, it seems justified. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he got shit literal in his face.
Once you get shit up the nose, it's time to start killing people.
I don't believe these things. You're so funny. Once you get shit in the nose, it's time to, like, stick a pin in it.
It's time to start slaughtering. But I would give this, because it's a return to form, thinking about everything to where he was at in his career and having three, like, superhero-type movies, like, blockbuster. He was definitely chasing money with his last three movies before this, and they all kind of failed. They all made a little money, but they all failed critically. So for him to kind of come back to his roots, get a really good twist going, and make something really fun, like he did, a nice, good horror piece, I'll give this an 8.3. I think this is Shyamalan at not his best, but up there.
Okay. I was going to give it an 8.
Yeah, I think it's a well-done flick, and it's one of those in his discography that you can go to and you're not necessarily going to be disappointed in.
No.
Which he tends to do. So I really liked it. That's what I
did too.
All right.
Okay, so what do you want to do next week?
What do I want to do next week?
Yeah, because I picked the visit.
You did pick the visit. What is something we want to do next week? We haven't done trick-or-treat yet, have we?
Have we done trick-or-treat? I don't think we have. It's a good fucking movie. Yeah, let's do trick-or-treat.
Cool. We can talk about Max and that creepy motherfucker. So we'll do that next week.
His name is Sam.
What, the little sack hat? I thought it was Max.
It's Sam, Daniel.
Okay.
It comes from the Halloween demon, Samian.
Okay. Well, my bad. But that little motherfucker, we got to deal with him. Whatever the fuck his name is.
Okay, so we'll find out what his actual name is, and we'll let you guys know. But, yeah, so thank you guys for all the love lately on TikTok. We noticed over the past 7 days you guys gave us about 30 extra followers. So thank you for that. We appreciate that. And, yeah, so hooty-hoo.
Yes, yes. We'll see everybody next time and have a nice, scary week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You gotta keep them separated.